Good morning. Our reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 to 21, which is found on page 72 and 73 in the church Bibles. That's page 72 and 73. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them, I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them, I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you blew your breath and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretch out your right hand and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you bought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Paul, for reading for us. Thank you. Do keep that passage open, and we'll turn to it. But let me just lead us in a prayer before we look at it together. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. Father, we come to you and ask that you would reveal yourself, your Son, to us this morning, that we would see your utter uniqueness, that we might be gripped by your majesty and holiness, we might stand in awe of your glory as we consider all of the wonders that you have worked on our behalves. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder if you've ever got through halfway through singing a song on perhaps on a Sunday, and you've thought to yourself, "I can't even remember what the first half of that song was about." I don't know if that was your experience this morning, or you've picked that up before. I know that I have. Perhaps it's because you had a late night, or the clocks changed. Maybe you were distracted by someone or something, Or just maybe, it's because, well, the truth is that our hearts weren't really in it. Perhaps we excuse ourselves. Perhaps we say, look, we're introverts. We're not the singing type, we say. And anyway, we think, does it really matter that much? But then what puzzles us and surprises us is that we sing at other times. So we sing in the shower. We all do that, don't we? Yes, we all sing in the shower from time to time. Sometimes we sing in the car as well until we're clocked by the person next to us in the car, and rather embarrassing at that point. But then there's sport as well, and for sport we don't even need to be there, do we? We leap off the sofa singing "Come on, England," or "Swing Low, Sweet Chariot," or whatever it is, and no prompting is required. Why don't we think and act like that when we think of what Jesus Christ has done for us? Why are our hearts so cold? Why am I so slow to praise him who died for me? What's wrong with me? Is there anything I can do about that? Now, it was easy for the Israelites to praise here. We see it, don't we, in Exodus 15. First, Moses and the men sing, verse 1. And then verse 20, Miriam and the ladies get their tambourines out, start dancing, and echo the song themselves. And it is instinctive, spontaneous praise, and seems to come easily. And then we think, don't we? Well, it would do, wouldn't it? I mean, these guys were standing by the sea. They tasted the salt on their lips. They felt the wind as it blew back all of that sea and created this corridor with walls that were made of water. They heard the Egyptians as they cried, as they came after them, and cried out to try and come and get them. They looked into the white of their eyes as they drew close. And then they heard the cries of anguish as those walls of water came tumbling down and drowned them. You know, if I was there, it would have been easy to praise, we say. They saw the horse and the rider gasping for breath as they sunk under the waves. Of course they sing. Who wouldn't? 430 years in slavery, and now they are free at last. Enemies shattered before them. And as they stand by that sea and they see the Egyptian bodies begin to sort of wash up on the shore, well, of course, they're bound to praise. They're bound to sing out. It's a great victory. And we say, but if I was there, then I would praise in the kind of way that they praised. But I wasn't there. Exodus 15 wasn't written for them. It was for the generations to follow, and it was for us. And it was written to teach us to praise the Lord too, so that we could experience, if you like, the Lord's deliverance of us and see it and taste it and feel it in our hearts and down into our bones. Now, when this was read, perhaps you thought, what on earth are we doing? We looked at the Red Sea last week, didn't we? And the answer is yes, we did. And we know what happened, but the question for us is, do we feel it? Do we feel it? Because songs do that, don't they? They help you to experience something. They help you to take it into yourself. And as we're going to see, that really matters. Now, what's this song about? Here's a sort of working title. Come up in three parts and hopefully on the screen there. The first is this. Sorry, let me give you the title. The Lord who fights for us, who shatters our enemies, and leads us to his everlasting kingdom. So we're going to chunk that down into three and learn how to sing it together. And here's the first part. Praise the Lord who fights for us. That's verses 1 to 5. Now, I know that we're all victims nowadays, but if you really are, if you've been bullied, if you've been oppressed, then you know how good it is to have somebody who's going to fight in your corner for you. Well, Israel have been oppressed for over 400 years. Day after day, all they did was work, no rest, no pay. They were oppressed. And Satan oppresses people today. Now, sometimes we might feel down because we're abusing our bodies, we're working too hard, we're not getting enough sleep, maybe there's a brain chemistry issue going on. But sometimes, just sometimes, it's more sinister than that. There's an enemy. And that enemy makes us feel weary and burdened. He tempts us. He lies to us. He loads things upon us that we shouldn't be carrying. And we may even find ourselves spiritually depressed, worn down by the grind of it all. That joy in the Lord that we had at first seems to have evaporated. And we feel like grumbling, there's that word again, more than glorifying God. Recognize anything of that? I guess that's what Israel felt. But then they realized that God was fighting for them. Verse 1. Their attitude changed. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both horse and driver. He has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. So the Lord is a man of war. He's a warrior. He fought for Israel, and he fights for us, his people, today. And just think for a moment about just who it is, if you are a Christian this morning, think about who it is that fights for you. We're told that he is highly exalted, verse 1. So verse 4, Pharaoh sent his best men, his crack commandos, and the Lord picked them up as if they were pebbles and hurled them into the sea. Verse 5, the deep waters covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. The Lord is a warrior who fights for his people. Now, maybe this language makes you feel just a little bit uncomfy. One commentator helps us to see why that is. He says, what are Israel celebrating here? Are they celebrating the fact they're free? Partly. Are they celebrating the awesome power of God? To some extent. Are they celebrating that God smashed their enemies? Chuffed that God picked up horse and rider and hurled them into the sea? Yes, that's the one. That's what they're celebrating first and foremost, that God has shattered their enemies. For that, that for us is strange. But when those enemies are intent on enslaving you, plundering you, slaughtering you, and when those enemies have drowned your babies, chapter 1, verse 22, this is justice. Now, maybe your God wouldn't do such a thing. He's the don't worry about the enslaving thing. Don't fret about the fact you intended to slaughter. Maybe he's the God who says, don't lose sleep over the drowning the babies thing. He's all forgive and forget. That might be your God, but it is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is highly exalted. Exalted over every conceivable enemy. And Christian person, this God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? That should put a tune on our lips and a song into our hearts to know that. We have a God who fights for us. Secondly, praise the Lord who shatters our enemies. 6 to 12. See, sometimes they go 15 rounds and it's a decision on points. But if you come up against the Lord, you're never going to get past seconds out round one. He shatters the enemy, verse 6. Like a wine glass thrown down against the flagstones. Verse 7, in the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger, and it consumed them like stubble. He incinerates the enemy. We're a bit further down, verse 12. He swallows up the enemy as if they were a tic-tac. Just too easy. Do you grasp the magnitude of God's power? We look at those North Korean soldiers, hundreds, thousands of them doing the goose step and the parade of all of that military might, those vehicles, the missiles, military aircraft. And there it all is. Nothing. Nothing compared to the power of our Lord. You might take some cream and whip it until it solidifies. God can do that with the sea. He's done it. Verse 8, by the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. Don't you love that imagery? The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. Do you grasp the magnitude of his power? He created a corridor through the Red Sea with walls of water. And the Egyptians followed the Israelites through that sea, and they boasted all the way. They said, notice this, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will gorge myself, I will divide the spoils, I will draw my sword, my hand will destroy them. Hear the boasts, but verse 10, you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Just too easy. A chap called Donald Bridge tells the story of a liberal preacher visiting an African-American church. And as the minister talked about the crossing of the Red Sea, someone shouted out, "Praise the Lord! Taking all them children through the deep waters. What a mighty miracle." Now, this minister didn't believe in miracles, and he was a bit annoyed. And so he went on to explain and said, actually, no, this probably didn't happen. They were probably going through marshland, and they were just about 6 inches of water. In response, the same voice shouted out, "Praise the Lord, drowning all them Egyptians in 6 inches of water. What a mighty miracle." Well, an even mightier miracle occurred years later when the warrior went back into battle again, and he went into battle against the devil on our behalf. And this time he looked defeated. He was drenched in blood. He had nails through his hand and his feet. But you know, the thing is, he wasn't defeated because the battle wasn't physical, but spiritual. Satan thought that he had won. But Jesus has the power of an indestructible life. The grave could not hold him. And he rose triumphant, defeating sin and defeating Satan and defeating death itself. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? 1 Corinthians 15, 55. Did you know that at the crematorium, everyone gets a number? One day my number will come up, so will yours. Nothing we've worked for will matter. All that will matter is whether we're on Jesus' side. If you're his, he will acquit you from every sin. If you're his, he will deliver you from hell and the devil. And if you're his, he will raise you from the dead and clothe you with immortality. If you're not his, then who will do that for you? Who could possibly do that for you? But if you are his, you can rely on it. Verse 11, he is utterly unique, isn't he? Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who's like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. If you know him, you might sing, there's only one Lord and Saviour. There's only one death destroyer. There's only one Satan crusher. Do you know anyone else like that? Neither do I. Thirdly, he's the God who fights for us, who shatters our enemies, and who leads us to his everlasting kingdom. I wonder what makes you angry. It's usually when somebody attacks something you value, isn't it? So if someone slanders you, or if they offend your family, or if they threaten your child, then what you're going to do is you're going to boil with rage. Your anger, you see, is the effect of your love. And it is the same with the Lord. He has a ferocious love for his people. A ferocious love. And will rise up and will strike against anyone who threatens us. Do you know that every morning when you wake up and get out of your bed, Christian? Do you know that this Lord has a ferocious love for you? See, that should put steel into our spines, knowing that he is absolutely determined to lead us to his everlasting kingdom, and no one will ultimately be allowed to stand in our way. That's what verse 13 says, isn't it? In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you've redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Now, one day we will sing the Lord's praises in his presence, but in the meantime, there's a fight on, isn't there? A spiritual fight, the fight of faith. You see, Israel, after the Red Sea, they're going to have to fight again. The Amalekites are just around the corner in chapter 17. And then you've got the Edomites and the Moabites and the Canaanites, enemies galore. And every Christian knows that there are enemies to fight, not people. Indwelling sin and discouragement, putting up with the hostility of the world, the lies, the accusations of the devil. Well, praise kept Israel fighting. Praise will keep us fighting as well. So if you win the Champions League, next game you sing, we are the champions, we are the champions of the world. And the other team think, we're going to get massacred. See, the song gives you confidence and it causes them to quake in their boots. In this case, their football boots. And when God's people praise him or live lives that sing out his praises, we gain confidence and others begin to just doubt, perhaps, just maybe I'm on the wrong side. For Israel, of course, the confidence that they gained was huge. For them, they saw their enemies from this point onwards as if they had been ossified, as if they'd been turned to stone. Verse 16, terror and dread will fall on them. That's what they're singing. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as stone until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you bought pass by. Now listen to one of those people, Rahab, as she testifies in Joshua 2 to the effect of this upon the Canaanites. She says this, "We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. When we heard of it, our hearts sank and everyone's courage failed or melted." See, Christian believer, you may feel very weak. You may wonder whether you can endure right the way through to the end. Know that the Lord has a ferocious love for you. Know his absolute determination to get you to heaven. Know that the promise of the Lord Jesus in John 14 is absolutely cast iron. "Don't let your hearts be troubled," he said. "You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and take you to be with me." The Apostle Paul believed it, and so he wrote in Romans 8, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, neither any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." As you sit there and sort of think this over, let me ask you, is this love of God, is this God who is for you, who shatters your enemies, the God who leads you in his great unfailing love, is this the theme tune of your life? Is it personal for you? Are you able to sing verse 2? "The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." See, this song by the sea, it challenges us, doesn't it? It's not enough to be able to explain the finer points of redemption, or to be able to show how each part of the Exodus story points to Jesus. That's not enough. You need to make it personal. Is your Christianity personal? Does the cross cause you to praise? But you say, yeah, I do praise the Lord, but nowhere near as much as I should, nowhere near as much as I want to praise him. Well, what can you do to change that? What are you going to do about it? There are two circles, and you'll either be in one or the other, and the first is vicious, the second is virtuous. You see, you either get yourself into a vicious circle or into a virtuous circle. And here's the vicious one. You wake up and you just feel spiritually cool. And so that day, you just don't praise the Lord that much. and so you feel spiritually cooler. And down it goes until eventually you wonder whether there's any warmth for the Lord at all. That's the vicious circle. Here's the virtuous one. You praise Christ from your heart, even on those days when it just feels difficult to start the engine, feels a bit hard. And as you praise him, you begin to appreciate him more and what he's done for you, which leads you to praise him more. And as the weeks and the months pass, slowly but surely, your heart gets warmer and warmer. Which circle are you in at the moment? As the weeks go by, is your heart getting cooler or warmer? I remember the day my son was born, and I remember walking home down a hill from the hospital. It must have been 35 degrees, something like that. And I just remember the overwhelming joy of that occasion. And I remember breaking, I couldn't stop myself, I remember breaking into a run and just jumping into the air and punching the air, because the joy was just sheer joy. I want to feel like that about Jesus Christ. Don't you? I want that rock-solid confidence that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate me from his love. That even when I'm on my deathbed, if there isn't a song on my lips, I want there to be one in my heart. Is that what you want? Well, the key is praise. Let's pray together. Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Father, we thank you for the greater work you have done for us, even than the Exodus in the great deliverance of the Lord Jesus Christ, who delivered us from sin and Satan and death itself. And we pray that you would help us to learn to praise you and to trust you. Pray for any here this morning who don't as yet trust you. We pray that you would help them to see your mighty power and to see what a wonderful thing it is to know that that mighty power is on their side, will shatter those enemies. And pray that that might cause all of us to open up our lips in praise. In Jesus' name, amen.